Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and I've brought three friends along. Yes! Pete's here.
Guto Soida.
And Luke's here.
All right.
Jim's also here.
Konnichiwa.
Good. It's wonderful to have all three of you back. I'm sure everybody listening will agree. Yeah? Yeah, happy to be back? Looking blankly.
You didn't say Marcus.
I did say Marcus at the start.
Oh, sorry. I thought you introduced yourself. I was wondering who you were.
Unbelievable. We've done that. Now then, here's the opening question, which has been influenced from the wonderful world of Manchester City and Gary Cook.
David Brent.
If you could hack into any Premier League player or manager, or it doesn't have to be Premier League, any footballer, any manager, chairman, someone in the world of football, if you could hack into their email account and send another person in the world of football an email, who would it be, Pete?
I'd probably go for Arsene Wenger's one.
Yes.
And I'd get his fax machine, because managers only talk via fax, don't they?
Especially with transfers.
Yeah. And I'd find Aboué's fax machine number. And I'd just start, like...
Which he's probably got, like, strapped to his leg.
Yeah. In a strange cavalier move. He's at Galatasaray now, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I'd just sort of fax Aboué. And the text would get slightly larger every morning, because you know every morning fax machines just spit out adverts for, like, yeah, printer cartridges, yeah, and strip clubs and stuff. And
they do strip clubs advertised by fax.
Yeah.
Do you have a fax machine?
It's the least. No, I've got one at work.
Okay.
I have access to one. Alright,
I may try and tempt you down the strip club.
Yeah. At 9 o'clock in the morning. It's just a bit early, isn't it?
It is.
A digitised picture of a lady.
We've got fax here.
Dot matrix woman. Yeah. My favourite kind of
dot
woman.
Dot matrix woman.
Is that
stay
like
away from me.
It's like handing out flyers electronically.
Yeah.
So anyway, Aboué.
Yeah, until he finally goes a bit mad and gives...
That's already happened.
Yeah. Gives the Turkish a taste of what we've been experiencing for the first for the last few years.
That's nice. So it did take him a while to get going. He was a little shy at first.
Exactly.
I think that's a good sort of humanitarian effort.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a fax for the force of good.
Yeah. I suspect the next one isn't going to be Luke.
I would probably send an email as Philippe Albert
to Pete Dunne.
To Pete, saying, "Hi Pete, it's Philippe Albert here." You wouldn't need to introduce himself, so it'd come from Philippe Albert.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying, "Would you like to come to my birthday party next August
in Antwerp,
the 10th? It's at the McDonald's in Antwerp, and I will let you walk around the kitchen with me. P.S. What's the answer to next week's going for gold?"
Why Antwerp?
That's where he lives, I think.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's where he currently lives.
He's to keep it local.
But his birthday is on August the 10th, Pete, so if you do get... Yeah. He'll be around that time of year.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Well, I accept. I will be there.
You're not getting this. Yeah. At all, are you?
And if you do, Luke will be the one behind it. Jim.
Alright, if I was in a situation, I would, like Pete, I would be Arsene Wenger, and I would hack Pep Guardiola and sell Cesc Fabregas back to myself.
Yeah.
For less money.
See, yeah,
never getting away, Cesc.
Now, I'll tell you now, you're not going to get the points.
Why?
Because the window's shut.
Shonky lawn moves.
No, you didn't think about that, did you?
Well, I did.
What you should have said, I'll email the Spanish FA and release him from his contract, so he'll be a free agent, then I'll sign him back.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're back in contention.
Right. Does the window ever really shut with these sort of lawn moves with a view to a permanent deal?
It doesn't shut if you're a free agent.
No,
but what I'm saying is, like, technically, I could just loan a player out.
You're here till January at least, Pete. That's what I'm saying.
You're not going anywhere.
Now, I would hack into Mike Ashley's and email Kevin Keegan saying, "Fancy another crack?"
What would the subject line say?
Again,
it would be no content. It would be one of those emails.
The subject line would say, "Genuine Q."
Or just again,
frequently asked questions. Yeah. To Kevin Keegan. Fancy job?
Good.
There's no money involved, either into your bank account or on players, but it's fine.
What was your one, Pete, again?
Mine was, I've forgotten.
Abouye. Yeah, not good enough. I've won the points again.
Second week in a row.
I am on a hat-trick, ladies and gentlemen.
You should not be allowed to give yourself the points,
I was reading the Wikipedia entry for the Football Ramble. I downloaded the whole of Wikipedia to my phone. I was very pleased with this. Four gigabytes, people, it's huge.
And, you know there's an app?
Say again?
You know there's an app?
Yeah, but you can't get that on the tube, and I spend a lot of my time underground and in caves and shit. But the entry of the Football Ramble says, and every episode, Marcus awards points which mean nothing. Which I like how it's got the crux of the
point. Absolute nonsense.
It is. Before you get on the main show, though, lads, yes. I've just come back from Croatia.
As
some of you may already know. I brought you an official shirt signed by an official player.
Oh, it looks to me. It's
my goodness.
A Croatia shirt with a number 10 on the back and Modric.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the front, it says, cool, it appears to be a genuine.
A genuine signed shirt.
I'll read it out.
From Luka Modric.
Alright, motherfuckers. Luka shitting Modric here. Thought you might like an official, definitely Croatia shirt from Ramble HQ. Good luck with the forthcoming season, you pricks. Regards, Luka Modric.
Wow. Alright. His English is very good.
It is, isn't it? Very
incredible.
Good.
He learned it from Sami Nasri.
Put it up on the wall.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Nice one, Pete.
No worries, guys.
Similar to your handwriting. But
you bumped into him, did you?
He was hanging out.
Yeah.
In a bar. Dark side bar.
Because he's Croatian, he definitely spends all his off time there, doesn't he?
Definitely, yeah.
Hanging up in the office now, look at that.
Great stuff.
They can't, Luke, they can't.
Oh, yeah, they can't, sorry, yeah. Trust me.
There's already an international flavour about the show. Pete's talking about Croatia there. Well, that leads us neatly onto the international roundup.
But does it?
Yes, James, it does.
I just think that's a little clunky. And I think you're trying to contrive.
I think you're just
You've been
jealous.
On the show for years. You know the score.
We haven't even spoken about Gary Cook either, properly.
Okay, what do you want to say? Have your water.
I don't even know where to start.
Good, well, leave it to me then. So, this is the international roundup, but this is, of course, from last Friday. By the time of recording, we don't know the Tuesday happenings. But we do know that England beat Bulgaria 3-0 away, and it was a good win, wasn't it, chaps?
It was convincing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Nice to see a bit of dynamism going forward.
Yeah, and a sort of bit of a kind of experimental lineup as well. I mean, Chris Smalling at right back. You know, he's done really well there for United. It's good to see people getting a chance like that. Gary Cahill as well was in there.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was really chuffed for Cahill when he scored. They couldn't wait to get up to him. He must be very popular.
Here's a stat.
And it's just like when I get in the pictures.
With
a nice new shirt.
Yeah. It's a nice kit, that.
It is. I like it.
It is quite odd not to see England wearing the red.
I like England wearing black. It looks evil.
It's got an edge to it.
Maybe that was what helped. But here's a stat for you. Gary Cahill, 4 caps, 1 goal.
Yeah.
Ashley Cole, 90 caps, no goals.
Good. I'm all for it.
Yeah. But he's not there to score the goals.
That's the attitude, isn't it?
But what did you think? The front line, Rooney up top as the main striker. Then you've got Ashley Young in behind, Downing on the left, Walcott on the right. Is that going to win us the European Championships?
Absolutely not. But it was decent, and it had a lot of pace and dynamism about it.
Yes.
And I wanted to mention the Bulgarian goalkeeper, Mihailov, who's a son of Bobby Mihailov.
Is
he? An absolute shocker, but he's a son of ex-Reading Bobby Mihailov, who used to wear the wig.
The wig, yeah.
Yeah. So that was good to see. What was he doing for the third goal? What was he doing?
He just got... FIFA'd.
Yeah, he's like someone who pressed Y on FIFA and he came out well too quick.
To be fair, Walcott,
there are other computer games available.
Walcott in particular needs to sort of work on his finishing a little bit, because if he wants to be an attacking player,
3-year goal drought, hasn't he, for England?
Yeah.
Unless of course he scored against Wales.
It would be fine, but he's piping up to Capello, isn't he? Play me through the middle. He's piping up to Wenger. Play me through the middle.
Well, he needs to be able to finish those.
I think he's got
to
back himself, isn't he? And he has scored 3 times for Arsenal already this season. And he got double figures for goals and assists last year. So, I mean, he is improving. To be fair,
Bulgaria showed very little opposition. They weren't that much of a test.
Restricted.
Is there an argument to say that Gerrard and Lampard should not be coming back at the England or indeed their club teams?
Ooh, that's interesting. I mean, certainly with Gerrard, Charlie Adams playing basically that role very well, and you wonder what's going to happen when Gerrard is back in the side.
And Lampard, is he performing as well as he used to do? Are they sort of both over the hill? I'm asking questions.
I think Lampard less so at Chelsea than Gerrard at Liverpool, but it's inevitably heading that way, isn't it? So Lampard's 33 years old now. You wonder.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, we are certainly for England, we're sort of replacing those two players with Barry and Parker, it seems, who are still pretty much about 30 anyway.
Yeah, kind of like
we're only sort of knocking off a couple of years here.
What I'd like to do is see them be dragged out their international career as long as possible, mm-hmm. ending with a series of unnecessary cameo caps.
Yeah,
because this is the England way. Yeah. Get them up to 110 caps each if you can, and then only farm them out when it's completely necessary.
Hang on a minute. Now that is not the England way. That is the David Beckham way, and a man like him deserves such
treatment.
And by
proxy, it's the England way.
With regards to Gerard Lampard, Lampard would have probably started against Wales. I think they've got a role to play in the squad, but starting, I'm not so sure. It was nice to see Parker and Barry.
Guys, it's nice to finally be having this conversation.
We were having this conversation the very first show we did.
No, it's happening now.
Yeah. But when is Capello going to learn 4-4-2 straight lines? But it's interesting. I mean, would you rather see... see, Ashley Young played in that kind of, I suppose, old-fashioned number 10 role behind Rooney. Is it better for Rooney to play that role and have someone like Darren Bent in front of him with Ashley Young out wide?
Well, yes. As an international side, you need different options, don't you? So they need to work on both of those things, I would think. But Ashley Young and Wayne Rooney seem to be gelling very well at Man United, and that's only going to benefit England. I think Young's got to be a shoe-in for...
But Ashley Young plays a wider role for United, doesn't he?
Yeah, but still,
he goes all over the place,
working very well.
Absolutely. I don't think it matters. I think on paper that sounds better to me, what you suggested, Marcus, but as Jim alludes to, it's got to be fluid, it's got to be... Mm. You've got to have options, you've got to do different things. And Bulgaria aren't the side... They used to be. I mean, Berbatov's their best player, and he's not played for them for a while
now.
That's
right.
They brought on their Brazilian about 20 minutes in the end. Yeah. 10 minutes in the end.
And they didn't sell many tickets either for the game, did they? I don't think there's much of an appetite. So it wasn't. I imagine it wasn't as intimidating a prospect as it could have been. Mm. But Wales did England a huge favour.
Well, I was going to say about the Bulgarian thing. Jordan Lechkov, we all remember him.
Yeah.
The baldy with the hairy spot on his forehead scored a great goal against Germany. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
one of the great World Cup goals, actually.
Yeah, I'd say so.
In terms of importance and sort of shock value.
Well, he's president of the Bulgarian Football Union, the BFU, and he reckons that Stylian and Martin Petrov should retire from the international game. As he put it, they have nothing more to give. They're successful players, they're millionaires, but it's time for them to retire with dignity.
That seems very harsh and knee-jerk, doesn't it? But it could just be a sort of Gerard and Lampard equivalent over there.
So. Yeah, maybe they're having that conversation over there.
Well, yeah. Old Dimitar Berbatov, who was in the stands for the game, who quit the national team because, he said, people at the BFU, he said about Lechkov, nobody likes him.
Didn't he play until he was quite old?
He just looked old.
He just looked old.
Berbatov said about Lechkov, he only knows how to criticise, but he can't see what he looks like.
They don't mince their words over there, do they? Love it. Love it.
Perhaps lost in translation, but that's what we like to pounce upon.
I think Bulgaria got a lot of their own problems in the light of the racism and stuff like that as well. Again, it's reared its ugly head in international football.
Oi, but Capello's chipped in.
Well, good, and rightly so.
He said that I'm absolutely against it, which of course one would hope. He said, I didn't hear what was happening because I was focused on the game, but we need to find the racist. Now, if I was a racist, I'd be petrified right now. Mm. And it would be enough to deter me.
What would you do? Would you like black up to hide?
That would be the ultimate... The ultimate racist spy.
Yeah.
Like if I was a racist...
Going down in a blaze of glory, I think that would be...
If I was a racist, I'd be a fucking idiot. Yeah. I don't know why... I mean, UEFA can dish out silly two-game punishments to Wenger for what happened against Udinese, and they can't seem to get their act together when it comes to racism. We say over and over again...
Do you know what would happen, right? If Ashley Young and Wayne Rooney accidentally put on each other's shirts, and one of them got booked, and he was like, is that Young? Oh, no, you confused the referee. Right, you know... $10,000 fine or something. Do you know what it would be?
Yeah.
It really would be.
It's very sad to see such a decorated footballer as Lothar Matthäus having to
apologise
on behalf of his own fans. I think that's slightly, well, incredibly depressing, in fact.
It's a chance for easy money, which they're normally great at, like, taking up.
I don't know why they don't
just find them loads and it will stop.
Yeah. Well, for me, I don't know why. I think a lot of them, by far, the most influential people in football are the players. And so, whilst it's... Oh, we applaud things like wearing the kick it out of football, armbands and stuff, wristbands. It's very easy to do. What actually needs to happen is the players need to take affirmative action. It shouldn't be the case, but it has to be. I'm happy to sit here and say, I've got no problem with saying, if you're a racist, don't listen to this show. Don't download this show.
Yeah, of course.
And so, why can't the players come out and say, look... if you're racist, don't come to the games. We don't want to are you anywhere near this game.
That's right, that's right.
Because it goes on for so long. We were talking about this again, the very first show we did, April 2007, we were having this conversation.
Yeah.
That was around the time of another qualifying campaign when there was a racism issue.
That's right.
And it's still not changed. Nothing's changed. Mm. It's embarrassing. And not only is it embarrassing for football, it's embarrassing for everyone associated with it. It's embarrassing for us. It's embarrassing for everyone.
It needs a manager or players to walk off of a game. And refuse UEFA or FIFA, wherever it is, to support them in that.
Because they'd have a conundrum, because they'd have to either punish the team for doing that, which would be ridiculous, or punish the racists and take affirmative action, which needs to happen.
Well, yeah, there needs to be guidelines on that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, the pictures of the crowds of the racist fans, I mean, they're right next to a line of riot police with big old sticks. And it's just kind of like...
Are you saying wade in?
Just yeah,
wade
damn in. Right.
If you hear it, bash him on the head. Yeah. Don't do that again. Like whack a rat. Whack a racist.
Yeah, I'm up for it, yeah.
Oh, it's popped on, said something. Bang!
Yeah.
Back in your big racist cave.
Because if you're an idiot like that, that's the only sort of language you'll understand. Bang, have some of that.
Yeah, have some.
But then you really sort of... There's a danger of just an actual riot happening. Yeah,
I'm not sure I want that kind of action, but the players coming out and saying,
unfortunately, the onus has got to be on the players. Yeah. And it's a sad state of affairs because they're footballers and that's what they're paid to do.
It's one of those things that you just sometimes think that perhaps it is beyond football to deal with.
I know what you're saying. It's a wide problem. Wales, great win against Montenegro. Great to see an exciting Welsh performance. And I don't mean to sound patronising there, but it's true, there hasn't been one for a little while.
Well, Speed's got them playing sort of a more passing game now, and it's taken a while to settle in, and to be fair to Wales, they've taken it on the chin, they've taken their medicine, and it's obviously taken a while to get their style together. But they've got good players. You've got Bale, Bellamy, Ramsey, good players.
And I thought it was great. They utilised the wing as well, Bellamy and Bale playing to their strengths, and putting Bale on the right, I thought was a good job because he cut inside. He was hitting, but he still provided. He set up the Ramsey goal, shooting. He looked much more of the man. And he thought, "Yeah, I'm having this." And they need players like that.
Get amongst it more.
Their pace really frightened Montenegro, and it's good to see him playing so direct and with this sort of fluency as well. It's also nice to see Stephen Jovetic.
Great to see him get a goal. Well. Mm. He's had such injury problems. He's out for I think over a year.
Goal of the game as well.
Oh yeah, he's got that in his locker though. They love him over there. He's really really popular, and he's got that in his locker. He can cut inside and smash the ball really hard.
Which is always a good attribute. Yeah. I mean, Scotland would have probably beaten Lithuania by the time this has come out, but 2-2 against the Czech Republic.
That was so gutting.
Yeah.
They played really well. Mm. They really did.
It was nice to see Darren Fletcher back in for them. Took his goal really well, I thought.
He did, yeah.
Horrendous dive. Absolutely horrendous.
It's such a sickness. And Scotland now, as I say, I'd imagine they'd have beaten Lithuania, and let's assume they have.
You've almost certainly jinxed that.
Apologies. You know, they'll need Czech Republic to slip up. Now, Czech Republic need to play Spain at home, but Scotland need to go away to Spain. Now, Spain will have probably qualified by then. Well, they will have qualified by then.
Yeah.
But still, you can't.
I guess
just
it all
see
hinges
them.
On where Kevin Blom is refereeing next, I suppose.
It's so annoying for them because it's obviously 2-1 up, and
yeah, that's such a massive 3 points they really should have had.
Oh yeah, so it's absolutely gutting. And Northern Ireland as well against Serbia,
cut their own throats. Northern Ireland,
And Republic of Ireland now again the big game against Russia. Interesting to see what happens.
That's a huge one for them now.
Yeah.
Well, realistically, they're the only other team. I know they're not technically a home nation, but they're the only other team who can qualify apart from England, really. Yeah.
Holland. We've got to talk about the 11-0 against San Marino.
That was beautiful.
Robin wasn't even playing.
No, don't need him.
It's
part of me thinks
you can still win in style against the.
Oh yeah, you can. You know. But part of me just thinks, you know, I'm a big supporter of international football, and I think that
I think we all are.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not as fashionable as it once was, and it's a reality of the situation.
Sure,
but. Part of me thinks, is it worth dragging all these players all the way back to their home country, some of them play quite a long far away, to play against San Marino?
Yes.
And I know San Marino are only going to improve by playing against these other teams and blah blah blah, but I don't know if it's time to get all these lowly nations and put them in a pre-qualifying group or something like that, because they do that in other things, in other sports and other areas of the game.
It does make sense.
Yeah, but I mean, we're going to play them at some point, and you're not telling me that wouldn't be a massive sort of deal if we hammered somebody 11-0.
Not
in
San Marino
like that. For England, come on.
We dined off the last time we hammered them.
But I'd rather England beat sort of, you know, someone decent 1-2-0 than beat San Marino 10-0. It's no point.
No, of course,
it?
But still beating San Marino 10-0 would be immense fun to watch.
I like how it sort of started, like Van Persie sort of glanced volley and...
Yeah. Schneider's first was a beauty.
It was beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah. Goal of the game. And then by the end, it was just sort of like one-touch football sort of like training match.
San Marino,
I mean, obviously they've got a population of about 11, I think. So they're just about field the team, but they really haven't improved at all. With someone like the Faroe Islands actually pick up the odd point here and there now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Italy only beat them 1-0. I remember a time when Italy went there and won 2-1 and Buffon having to make a tip-in save round the post. It could have been 2-0, which would have just been absolutely wonderful.
I mean, it got to about 7-0, I think it was, and some of the San Marino players just looked like they wanted to cry.
But if I was a San Marino player,
I'd take the Euros.
Go to Holland. I've been hammered on Sunday mornings before in a park. Why wouldn't you want to go to the Orange Arena?
You haven't enjoyed it, have you?
Good to see you're such an ambitious person.
Oh, you're playing for San Marino.
Oh, my God, the numbers?
Yeah. Is this you officially declaring for San Marino?
I've had some unspeakable things done to me in a park.
Why would I want to do that in Holland?
We'll come to you in a minute, people. I'm quite happy to be a naturalised San Marinian. That's probably ruled me out right there. Germany 6, Austria 2.
That is another impressive.
Germany have already qualified, so it doesn't matter what they do on Tuesday. We can still talk about them because they are bloody excellent.
Lovely bit of goal theft from closer. Like Ozil sort of lovely volley and him just sort of stealing and going, yes, yes, I scored it, yes.
Yeah. And that's my billionth goal.
I haven't scored for my club for ages. He probably has.
I only score for Germany.
I'm surprised their keeper, the Austrian keeper, his team, he plays for Sturm Graz. They're like fourth in the Austrian Bundesliga. And you just sort of think, he was awful. Yeah. He was absolutely terrible.
I tell you what, though, that German front line, it's just frightening. The way they move, the way they knock it. Because obviously we talk about German efficiency and all that, but they've got flair. And Klose was saying it's the best German team he's been involved with. And all the national team, they all look forward to the way they play. I think his actual wording was, you don't know the half of it.
Yeah. fluid, adaptable, but, and they didn't need to be, and that was the thing.
That's right. That's right.
If you look at...
Derby match.
If you look at sort of Ozil, how well he played, and sort of, you know, they've got Goethe in there. That was a great goal, wasn't it?
Goethe.
Cockney German.
That's absolutely superb goal. He looks a real prospect. There's Marco Marin as well, and he's sort of in and around.
He's so underrated, Marco Marin. You never hear talk of him,
do you? He's an excellent player. Like, they've got... They might be a threat to Spain, you know, in sort of in terms of the generations they've got coming through.
I know the Dutch are the best side in the world, according to the...
I think the Germans and the Spanish are the favourites next summer, as we stand at the moment. It's actually interesting because it's two opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, look at Euro 2000, England and Germany had a disastrous tournament. Mm-hmm. Neither qualified from their group, did they? It was sort of a group of death. Yeah. Germany went away, had a real long period of self-reflection, invested a lot into their bringing up of international players.
And made England sure, got pissed.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Made
now
sure all
the
club,
young players are looting.
Yeah, made sure all the clubs contributed money to the national FA, all that stuff you would do. Yeah. And England, they're almost nearly about to open their academy 11 years on. Yeah. And like, they just make excuses. And England make excuses all the time.
Better late than never, big lad.
But one thing I will say, we'd have definitely won that second round game if that ball hadn't been ruled out.
That's Frank Lampard. Well, what is great about the
have they got a JT?
I don't think they have.
Have they got a JT in their side? Tell me.
No.
They're good.
You know?
I know which side I'd rather be on.
Would you shut
Achtung.
Up? Would you... I think that, you know, you look at the German fans, the players, the manager, it's like they're all in it together, you know, and it's fantastic to see. I admire them so much when it comes to international football. Well, and Bundesliga as well, but they are frightening how good they are. Also, this was only an international friendly. It didn't turn out to be. It was the FIFA Fair Play Day.
FIFA Fair Play.
Well,
the other FIFA Day.
I say it tentatively because a mass brawl finished off the game. Spain 3, Chile 2.
Yeah, was that planned?
Fair play. This is not what you're supposed to be doing.
It's all going wrong. Although, I mean, it should be embarrassing for FIFA, but FIFA do seem just impervious to embarrassment.
So yeah, exactly.
I don't know if they even noticed.
Sepp came out and went, "This is not a bazaar. This is the FIFA house. Stop punching each other."
Oh dear, though. Chile 2-0 up with 20 minutes.
Yeah, they were bossing them as well.
Yeah, two lovely goals.
Like no one I've seen for a long time.
They were doing to the Spanish what they've done to many a team, but the Spanish clawed their way back and got a penalty in the last minute, which should never have bloody been.
Yeah. Spanish are like the...
It was like the Czech Republic one.
Harlem Globetrotters, literally. Yeah. They just got all over the place. We'll play here, and we'll play here, and everyone will love us.
Yeah.
Oh dear, well, they're not at the end of that one.
No,
not the end of that one. So, but they did win 3-2. So,
any confirmed injuries from the punch up? Anyone sort of connect? Anyone not connect?
Darren Anderson got injured, I think. Watching,
just by watching. Kieran Dyer, put a knee out.
Brian Robson,
Kieran Dyer actually swapped his knees. It was such a bad injury.
Now then, the African Cup of Nations qualifying has been going on.
It hasn't.
Yeah, okay.
Just got to disagree with you.
I've made it all up. And England are through. the African Cup of Nations qualifying is going on.
It's in January, the African Cup of Nations.
It's in January, Pete.
Well, there's a few players, unfortunately.
Egypt are out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't been doing very well, but what is the matter with them?
Maybe some sort of civil unrest at home, I don't know.
Yeah, probably got one eye on
them. Well, you say that, but Libya, they're looking pretty good, actually. It was quite an emotional scene to see the game in... I never did, but they beat Mozambique in Cairo. And obviously they're playing in Egypt because of all the unrest in Libya. The Libyans, I think they were flying their new flag, playing a new kit. It's quite...
a new dawn.
Quite big, isn't it?
Totally, and they won. They won
1-0.
They need to beat Zambia away to progress to the tournament, but he's hoping for
them. The teams that are qualified, Gabon and Equatorial Guinea, who are both the hosts, aren't they?
Yeah.
Botswana have qualified, Ivory Coast.
They have, and Senegal.
And Burkina Faso, actually.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Nigeria.
I love the African Cup, and it's just such a good tournament.
Yeah, it really is.
It's really good fun.
Yeah, remember the Mali game?
Yeah,
the
class.
Last one.
That was
absolutely
mental, wasn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Yeah.
It really, we look forward to that very much, though.
South Africa lost, didn't they?
They did. There's been a lot of...
They had a terrible result. They had a really bad... They're not in great shape at all.
Against Niger.
Yeah, exactly.
Niger are top of their pool, aren't they?
Yeah, they're not doing too well. Nigeria were struggling. They won 2-0 away in Madagascar. Madagascar sacked their entire national team before the game and replaced them with...
Whoa, stop. Replace them with... Please say lemurs.
No, vanilla. That's all it was. Under 23 players.
Boring.
Sorry about that.
There are kinds of lemurs called sportive lemurs as well.
Oh, is that right?
So that would be quite fitting.
As well.
Sportive lemur.
So there you go. So African qualifying is coming to a close.
Fairmont Togo are only trying to qualify for this tournament because the Court of Arbitration for Sport let them continue to compete after FIFA banned them for pulling out after that loads of people were killed in a bus shooting accident.
That was a particular... I know, like, it's a broad brush with... or it's a thin end of the wedge, but Christ on a bike, that's a...
Yeah, it's harsh.
Fairly harsh.
And do you also remember the Good Luck Jonathan?
The Nigerian.
He self-imposed a ban on all Nigerian sports teams, didn't he, for their poor showing. Is it in the World Cup? Or
that's
something?
Right. Yeah. And then FIFA said, you can't do that, otherwise we'll ban your teams because it's a political involvement. And he went, well, if anyone's going to ban them, it's going to be me. So no.
I've literally already done it.
Yeah. It's alright, Zep, it's taken care of.
FIFA came along and put like a mark through their Nigerian FA headers and put FIFA. No, we did it, not you.
Good to see Joseph Yobo scoring as well. He never does.
Yeah. Right then. So that is, I suppose, the international roundup. But last week there was the shutting of the transfer window. We talked about it a little bit on the there it is now.
And also that coincides with the shutting of Jim White's coffin.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, Jim White. I met him.
He doesn't come out again until January.
Leave him alone.
Yeah.
Leave Jim the Diamond White alone.
The Diamond White.
Famous for a day.
Yeah. Famous for a day. He was like the Des Lynam in Scotland when I was growing up there.
Yeah.
Why doesn't anybody like Jim White? Is this because he's associated with a tacky sort of process of the transfer?
I've met him. Honestly, he's a top man. I've met him.
Sky Sports actually showed him turning up to work.
not just once.
I was away for that.
That was a recurring
that
feature.
Yeah.
What, him leaving his house, cup of coffee?
Or was he walking into like ESPN and they would go, there's a transfer room with Jim White?
Yeah. His big headphones.
Right then, Jim, we come to you. Arsenal have signed... people.
Yeah, oh, loads of them.
Yeah, well. There's a few.
I'm delighted with Per Mertesacker in particular, 6'6" of German experience right there. He's a bit of a beanpole, so I'm sure he'll probably just sort of get tackled by gusts of wind.
Well, that's Peter Crouch taken care of as if the away trip to Stoke.
Yeah, God. But, you know, I'm delighted with Mertesacker. I mean, that's a really experienced player there. I mean, Benny Yoon, a lot of people are questioning, but again, I think he's a very underrated player. He's had a tough year at Chelsea. But
I think he's a good
signing.
He just needs to play.
Well, it's nice to have a guy
He did sign without a medical, so hopefully he won't just collapse at the first...
It's nice to have a player though, a genuine dribbler who can create stuff, and I think he's a good signing.
Santos, we needed a left back. I mean, that was horribly clear at Old Trafford because you can't rely on Gibbs to be fit, and even so, you know, he's still very young. And Arteta as well. I mean, I've heard a lot of
direct
say,
replacement, would you say?
Well,
he's like a poor man's Fabregas.
Well, I would say so, but I think if you look at the squad, I don't know if the squad's as strong as it was last year, but it's stronger than it was at the start of the season, which is like absolutely crucial. And at the same time, he's had a lot of experience here as well. There's Park as well, 26, captain for his country. There's a lot of leaders there.
Yeah, that's
exactly good. It's exactly what Arsenal have lacked, is experience and sort of leadership. And in theory, if it comes together, then that, I think, you know, Arsenal are in much better shape.
A fantastic final 2 days for them.
Yeah,
really,
really good.
I'm a big supporter of Wenger, and I think, you know, people go mental about what's happened and sort of get a bit knee-jerk about, and it's a poor result there at Old Trafford, and they were dilapidated as a squad. But I tell you what, in 3 months' time, it'll be completely different.
Yeah,
it'll
but
be
why,
completely story.
And good.
But you sort of question why they didn't bring these players in earlier on, and you sort of think, is this a knee-jerk reaction?
Yeah, maybe so, but I mean, it had to happen. So,
well, I mean, Wilshere's out for a couple of months now, isn't
exactly. Yes, I mean, the fact there's some cover in there is brilliant. I have heard some Everton fans say that Arteta's not the player he was a couple of seasons ago, and that he is already on the wane. But we will see.
Now's his chance. Spurs getting Scott Parker, good signing.
Yeah, £5 million as well. It's good,
snip. Yeah,
I mean, he's 30, but I mean, it's still a decent price, I think.
Yeah, I think Parker as well has got two or three seasons in him, I would think.
I still think they're woefully short, though, Spurs.
Yeah,
I still think they're a bit short.
Got Adebayor in as well.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that happened after
after you said it would happen.
After I said it would happen.
Well done, Brian Swanson.
Craig Bellamy back to Liverpool.
Yeah, didn't see that one coming.
No,
the old goal goblin.
I think I'm a big fan of Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, we all like Craig Bellamy, don't we? Yeah, I think that's a good one. Raul Morelos to Chelsea. Yeah,
people were getting the wrong end of the stick about the old transfer request. What has he had of the transfer request in an hour and a half before the transfer?
Yeah, that's not how it works. Yeah,
because the admin's a lot easier if he does. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. It may even have been the case that happened a long time before that.
Yeah,
it's just these things are leaked out. Mm. It's probably Sky just choosing to reveal stuff so they can stagger the breaking news.
But also, if you hand in a transfer request, you're not entitled to a sign and on bonus at your new club, which then means they can put more of the money towards the club they want to buy them from as well. So that's worth noting.
Good knowledge.
Well, that always used to be the case, anyway.
Now, this is like a new signing for Manchester City.
I love that cliche.
Yeah, because it isn't.
Yeah.
Kolo Touré.
Banned for taking water tablets, wasn't he? Drink from the tap, idiot.
Water tablets. Did the Bouet give him them?
Yeah.
Wait, you know when you're thirsty in the middle of the night and you've got to go to the tap and you can't really be bothered? Have some of these. Yeah.
This is just sand.
Just
ice.
Just gave him a bag full of ice.
Yeah.
This one tastes like Fanta.
Water tablets are the sort of thing a Bouet will blow all his life savings on when he's retired.
But he said, I'll never thirst again.
Yeah. I bought these water tablets for £1 million. It's a bag of ice cubes. Yeah.
Water biscuits.
Yeah, good to see Touré back. Well, we haven't seen him yet, but hopefully he can get
stuck in. And big Owen Hargreaves. That's not like a new sign. That is literally a new signing.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it's a weird one for Hargreaves, isn't it?
But before we talk about other stuff that's gone on at Man City, we've got to mention Brighton signing ex-Valencia star Vicente.
Yeah, brilliant.
What a signing!
I mean, potentially.
It's so weird.
It is weird.
He's 30.
Yeah. It is really is weird, but
he hasn't played for about 6 years.
He has played a bit.
Yeah, but not. You know,
this could be.
It's been here and there.
Prozanecki. Yeah.
This could be it.
It could be. I doubt that.
Come on.
Vicente did play a few times last season.
He's won La Liga.
Yeah, he's won the UEFA Cup as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won the league under
Benitez.
Would
he have played in the Champions League final?
Under Benitez he played.
Right, okay.
But he was there for like 10 years, wasn't he? But he the one thing I will say, I don't want to put too much of a dampener on it, but there's a reason he's not signed for a Premier League club. There's obviously a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's a good left side player, and he was kept at the team by Mata, wasn't he? Well, Mata for quite a long time. Yeah. Valencia when he came through. And so what I'm saying is he's obviously a good player, and if he can stay fit, he'll be a revelation in the Championship. Yeah. Well, he'll be brilliant.
You're not just putting a dampener on things; you're putting a water tablet on it.
You are. Yeah. You're breaking water tablets all over the top of it. But I imagine it is that the case that, you know, he is injury prone, and Brighton probably just accepting that fact that they're a very good injury prone player.
And it'll be factored in, presumably. They're not stupid. They're not idiots. They've just spunked out £1 billion, £1 trillion for their new stadium. They're not going to be chucking around money free. Yeah, they really
not stupid at all.
The problem was with Vicente. I remember when there was one point a couple of years ago when he was saying he was injured to Valencia, and the doctors were saying, we can't find anything wrong with you. What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with you. You're perfectly fit. You should play. So I don't know what the outcome of that was, but he certainly has had long term injuries, and I mean for a very long time as well.
Sounds like a liar as well.
It's also hard to. It's hard to believe that he's only 30. He's been around for ages. Yeah, absolutely ages.
Yeah. There's one more audacious thing from the world of transfers. Apparently, QPR are lining up a bid to bring David Beckham back to England. God. Yep, this will definitely happen.
Can we even give this any credence?
Yes,
must we?
It's going to happen.
Marcus cannot take anything out of the running order if it's involved with David Beckham or Sven Jurgen. It has to go in.
Sven's not injured this week.
Can't do it. It's some sort of curse.
Yeah, he's out of contract in October.
Would you prefer him to go and be with Sven?
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Of course I would.
He'll want to be back. He'll want to be
putting
back
in
the
balls
Olympics
to Darius Vassell. Yeah. Like 2003 all over again.
The golden generation all over again.
To be fair, though. To
get Michael Owen in Leicester City. That's what I'm saying.
That could legitimately happen, couldn't it? Be
no, because Michael Owen's on record saying, I'm not playing for a small club. Yeah, I want true. To come.
Pesky.
Yeah, God. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, to be fair to QPR, they did a lot of business on the last day as well. Like, experienced Premier League players in there as well. So
I enjoyed Sean Wright Phillips' parting sort of message to City. He said, there will always be a blue spot in... he said, there will always be a blue spot in my heart, which sounds really painful.
Get that checked
out.
Yeah,
that was awful. Cat scan there.
How do you find that? Sean Wright Phillips, I know it's not his responsibility because he's a footballer and it doesn't really matter, but I'd like to say for the record, having seen him interviewed on Transfer Deadline Day, he's a very, very stupid man.
I remember back in the day he was promoting Xbox and he was sort of going, bearing in mind how big an Xbox and associated power supply, certainly back then before the slimline model had been released.
Certainly compared to him.
And he's sort of going, and he just kept on talking and he sort of talked himself into a corner that nobody brought him up and he sort of went, yeah, when I go on a weird days I put it in my bag. It's like, you don't put it in your bag, I'm sure you don't.
Dear. There was one transfer that nearly happened. I thought this was quite a funny one from Portugal. The Russian club.
Angie Makachkla.
Sorry?
Ooh, nice.
Angie Makachkla.
Angie. Yeah, yeah. We'll call them.
Sounds like a Scottish woman.
Yeah. Who Samuel Eto'o now plays for. They went in for.
Pardon?
A. Yeah. B. They went in for Porto striker Hulk.
Hulk.
Ulke.
As he's known in Portugal.
Ulke.
Ulke
in
smash.
Brazil. For €87 million, I think.
Yeah, I heard about this.
This is crazy.
This was on the last day of the transfer
window. But didn't the Porto president...
It was all agreed. They were talking in personal terms.
He couldn't believe his luck, the Porto president. And he was like, oh, this is amazing. €90 million. And the guy went, no. Yeah. You've blown it.
You've been playing
87 to €90 million.
Yeah. Yeah. You've play like... Remember the sense of World of Soccer? You do player manager. Yeah. And someone would come in for you and you just go, ask for more.
It's like deal or no deal.
And it would get it would get like $5 million above the asking price. You'd go, yeah, one more. Oh no. Yeah. It was just like that.
The phone rang, the Porto president picked it up, €87 million or €90 million.
They'd have taken it.
They'd agreed 87.
Yeah.
Balls of steel.
They'd agreed €87 million.
€87 million.
It's like one of the.
He would have been the most expensive player ever, surely, right?
Like, yeah, easily.
Yeah, because Ronaldo
was 80 million.
That was £80 million, wasn't it? So have a.
Oh, okay.
Well,
roughly,
around it.
Roughly, yeah.
Still, Jimbo.
Yeah.
You know, it's an extremely.
Gary Cook sitting at home reading about this, going, they've bottled it.
Where did they get that figure from, though? Where did they get that figure? Like 87. From you may as well call it 90.
Yeah. Maybe the guy's got OCD. It's like, no, it's sorry, it's got to be 90.
Yeah, it's got to be an even number.
What I love, though, is when there's now talk that Hulk may go to Russia in January, but when asked about this, there was a spokesman for Porto who said, we never comment on these things. When there is something to comment on, it's usually the president who does it. Yeah. You're the spokesman. You've just talked yourself out of a job there, mate. Yeah.
We never comment on these things, do we?
Just like... Exactly. Oh, it's nothing to do with me.
The chairman usually fucks this sort of thing up, so talk to him.
What is your
We're
use?
Pissed
exactly.
Off.
I also love the fact that there's a potential €87 million transfer happening in European football. Sky Sports, not a dicky bird.
On deadline day.
Yeah. What's that? €87 million.
Yeah, exactly. But Danny Gabardon's gone on loan. You know.
I did the minute by minute. Luke did the other half of it. There were times when nothing was happening.
Yeah, absolutely right. There was a time when literally Jim White was turning up to work and that was it.
Yeah, but you filled brilliantly. Oh, dear.
By making up a rumour of Hulk going to Anshi. Yeah.
very good. Now then, we did promise to go back to Manchester City and Gary Cook. Well, here we are now. Gentlemen, go.
Right, well, I'll get in there first. Obviously, I suppose, in case anyone hasn't heard what has happened, Nedim, how do you say, is it
Onua?
Onua. Nedim Onua's mum is also his agent, and they've been negotiating a new contract. It's hit a snag. She's got cancer. It's quite serious. And she got an email from Gary Cook's email address that said something like she'd claimed in an earlier email saying that she was it riddled with cancer?
Yeah.
And she got a reply or an email from Gary Cook saying, Brian, she's riddled with it. I don't know how you sleep at night. I remember you being such a nice man when we worked together at Nike. Now, Gary Cook is claiming that he has been hacked and that someone else has sent that email from the account. I mean, it clearly looks like it's a conversation between two of them. Someone's pressed the wrong button, blah, blah, blah. But they're alleging this isn't the case. My theory, right, Mario Balotelli recently got in trouble with Italy because he brought an iPad onto the bench.
Yeah.
I reckon that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
I reckon he was hacking Gary Cook, having a bit of fun.
I'm strangely ambivalent about this because I'd love that to be the case, but at the same time, I want it to be Gary Cook who did it.
Yeah, because it's a horrible, horrible thing to write and send.
But Gary Cook.
It is saying bigger boys came and did it.
Yeah, basically. But Barry, what he's effectively saying is a very specifically motivated hacker with a vendetta against a reserve team player's mother has broken into his computer while he was on holiday in South Africa with undoubtedly access to his emails because it's the 21st century.
What's his password? Gary Cook's wife? Or just not?
Yeah.
And it's a very specific sort of message as well, isn't it? It's so sort of like he's clearly messed something up and he's just
done the wrong address, wrong two in the two column, wrong person.
Or reply all.
And his password is Kaka is a bottler.
That's his password. It's one of the things that I think a senator in America did this horrendously right wing to the point of racist tweet, and basically he sort of got out of it by sort of saying, yeah, they hacked the first 15 characters of my tweet. It's like, what, how would they do that exactly? What, somebody's ran in while you're writing a tweet
it's written now, I've got to send it.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't delete that.
He's clearly him. He's David Brent. This happened as Jim said earlier, in the thick of it. It's life imitating art. He's an absolute disgrace of an individual.
The guy's a clown.
Yeah, he's
absolute
a total clown. Yeah. You think he's got those big clown trousers on, but he's just fat.
Mm. Ooh, starting on his weight.
Yeah. There
we go. Right then.
No, his mouth was hijacked by me.
Yeah.
First 15 words he said out of his mouth.
I'm not fat. My belly was hacked. A load of food.
Mike Ashley's been at it as well, hasn't he? Yeah. Dancing around with his top off. I don't think that's that bad.
No,
well,
I don't.
People seem really angry about it. It's just a man having fun at a Chinese restaurant, isn't it?
We've all had fun at a Chinese restaurant.
I'm not stupid. My brain was just hacked by a moron.
Oh dear. Right, and there are other stupid people around the world, specifically Colombia. This won't go away. You remember the formerly
Colombia won't go away.
You remember
racism,
Bolio Gomez,
well, the guy who was fired for punching a girl in a bar.
Well, he resigned before he was fired. Yes. Well, an online game has been created around this. Now,
you go around punching women?
Well, to play the game, you must steer Bolio around the bar, hitting women with a stick and re-energising on beer.
Christ on the
bike. Is this a Letters Gary Cook venture?
A software house was hacked.
The man behind the game said, through humour, we can create a consciousness which will stop things like this from happening again.
What, by literally making a fun game where you punch women, where the objective that you are rewarded for is to punch women?
No, I think if you do really well at the game, it tells you you're a bad person.
Yeah.
So it's ultimately a stupid game to play because to do well is bad.
Yeah.
I feel like I should redress the balance here because, so as well as the racism thing, if you are a wife beater, you shouldn't download the show either. I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah, leave women's faces alone.
Yeah.
Well, there's the title for the show.
That was like a Jerry Springer, end of a Jerry Springer.
And that was my final thought.
Look after yourself and each other.
And Christ on a bike.
Leave women's faces alone.
Going for gold. Gold. Going for gold, bitches. Jim, is this the first time you played Going
it
for Gold?
Yeah, it is.
Exciting,
Jimbo's inaugural effort.
I'm excited.
Luke's 1-1.
It's a lot of pressure.
I've 1-1. Pete's also 1-1.
How?
Well, we didn't get it.
Well, basically what I do is I throw out clues to a mystery footballer. You guys just basically buzz in, shout, oh yeah, I want to go now.
Stop, you got to say.
Stop, all right, shout stop.
Have
and have a crack at it, basically.
Cool.
Is that all right? Yep. Are the rules okay with you, Jim?
Yep.
I don't want you coming back to me and saying, I don't know the rules, Pete. It's not fair.
He can see that.
He can see it.
He can't see it. He can't see nothing.
I'm not looking anyway. I don't want to cheat. Too There's no smart. Glory in that, is there?
Don't.
Your first clue. Prescience, please.
Oi. Yep, go on.
I am 42.
Stop.
Shut up.
Paolo Maldini.
No.
You gotta have a dig, Marcus. I've always,
always
choose
Paolo, Paolo Maldini. Maldini. It's, never, it's probably never gonna be Paolo Maldini for that very point.
Oh, God. You've made a catchphrase again.
I am 6 foot 2 inches. I played one match for Barnet and five for Millwall. I have four caps for my country. I have a Premier League medal. I am a proud runner-up in the King Hassan II International Cup tournament.
Ooh. That's a big one.
I played for Norwich City over two spells.
Okay.
Manager Chris Turner changed my position to great effect.
I've no idea.
Come
I'm
on.
Up in arms here.
Come
it's
on.
Outrageously hard.
I was a Scottish League Cup winner. I was born in Leicester. I scored 183 times in the league.
Stop. Oh, sorry. No, no, no. Sorry. Carry on.
Jim's gone for a stop.
Sorry.
Stop.
Who?
Dion Dublin?
Yes!
Oh, yay!
Good.
Dion Dublin, ladies and gentlemen. Changed position to great effect.
Biggest player in the world.
Yeah.
Remember he played at Norwich a couple of times. Very few England caps.
What was that King Hassan tournament?
That was when they went out and played against
98, I think.
That totally threw me, that did.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And that's the name of the game. Jim's in there. Well done, Jimbo.
It's all square. One each across the board.
Yeah. Wow.
Gordon
Bennett. I would look forward to all the tweaks from all the listeners saying I had that after the second clue.
Was that King Hassan II International Cup?
Yeah. I suddenly thought he was a Middle Eastern player when you said that.
No, that was the red herring,
yeah,
wasn't
you
it?
You did me. You did me like
if I'd have started where you invented a box.
Yeah. When were we going to get to the
Jew? And he played with Ocean Colour Scene.
When were we going to get to the Jew? Was that the last
that
one?
That wasn't even on the page because I presumed you would have got it by now. I was winging it after that, to be honest.
Clearly, in our heads, the Jew has replaced everything else he's ever done.
Yeah. Alex Ferguson was obsessed with the size of his penis, reportedly.
Thank you for your email, lady.
Jim, you've got the first one.
I do. Hello, Ramblers.
Hello.
Hello.
Just wanted to drop you all a quick email on the topic of Man of the Match awards after Marcus's recollection of Gazza and the CD player. I'm probably going back over 10 years now, but when Coca-Cola were first sponsoring the League Cup, I'm pretty certain they used to dish out a mountain bike to the player who got Man of the Match.
What a non sequitur that is.
I have no footage or other evidence to back this up, just a vague memory of Paul Merson winning a 5-speeder down the tunnel with a bemused look on his face. From Chris Garthwaite in Darlington.
Is this what this is
amazing?
This is
the alcoholic players as well. It's Tony Adams got like a pogo stick, maybe. Someone else got a hang glider.
Is this what this has come to?
I don't think I can take this.
Is this what this has come to? The guy's like, I don't know if it. I think there was a vague memory.
Why had Coca-Cola given him a mountain bike?
Yeah.
Just give him loads of Coke.
Give him one.
Well, actually, that's the last thing he needed.
Give him one. Give him one of those yo-yos they used to give out.
Oh, yeah, gold one.
In the 90s.
Gold Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah, they were class.
Yeah.
Just imagine doing a little wheelie down there.
Yeah. Pete, you've got an email
shit
too.
Shit the bed, lads. Callum Cardiff. Ramblers,
I think
says.
Is that Callum from Cardiff?
That's not Cardiff. Like Karen Carpenter. Yeah.
Callum, but not in any way.
Callum from Cardiff. Ramblers, following the trend of former footballers becoming PE teachers, yes. My 10-year-old sister is taught by former Manchester United, Oldham, Swansea and Cardiff City footballer, Derek Brazil. Ooh. It only occurred to me to email in this week when my sister started asking about whether overhead kicks were dangerous, and I explained that they were difficult and that really only professional footballers can do them. She told me that Mr. Brazil had made them watch him attempt overhead kicks for about 20 minutes. Has he got an assistant to put in hundreds of crosses which he failed to connect with?
Great lesson. 10-year-old girls. That's what I need. It's a life skill.
It's like that high.
No fucking case.
That is a shit delivery, Jones. Shit.
Get it off the ground, Smith.
When one of her mates began to laugh, he apparently went mental and gave them a roll call of the clubs and appearances he had made to put them in their place. That's surely not true, Callum, but thank you very much.
It doesn't matter if they're true.
Yeah,
it does matter if they're true, for crying out loud. Oh, I like that a lot. Oh, shit.
You've broken Pete, listeners.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Woohoo! Woohoo!
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a favourite time, actually.
Is it really?
For me.
It certainly will be this time, because we have a former West German international great. It's Paul Breitner.
Yes, embracing.
The man, the beard.
We spoke about him briefly.
Whatever you're doing, stop it and listen.
Yeah.
What if they're listening?
Keep on.
Yeah. He was born on the 5th of September 1951.
16 years before the summer of love.
Before the summer of love. Mm. A highly...
In a way, it's sort of, you know, football's kind of seen as pre and post summer of love, isn't it?
He would have been 15 years old when the summer of love came around, and he had no interest in it. Absolutely none.
All those hormones flying around.
Yeah, maybe.
He had a full beard by then,
yeah,
I imagine, as well.
Yeah, he would have been. Born with a beard. Born with a beard.
With a beard. A fantastic player he was indeed. Very highly, he was an extremely outspoken and controversial individual.
And massively underrated in this country.
Massively underrated.
Never mentioned.
Yeah, he's often just seen as a beard, weirdly. Yeah. He's like one of those all funny looking old foreign players.
But he's also another one of those wonderful midfield generals.
Yeah.
We had Souness in. There's another general of the midfield.
Another mustachio general.
That's right. Similar hair, although better hair, I would probably add. He could play a number of positions as well, though. They had the great hair, the beard. Handlebar tash as well.
Come on. What's
the lot going off?
The lot, ladies and gentlemen.
Can't find fault with the man.
Now, as we said, he was a former West German international, was a big player for the great West German sides of the 70s and early 80s. He was key to their success. He joined Bayern Munich at the age of 19. He quit his studies. He went to Bayern in 1970 and became an international just 1 year later. He's very well known in Germany, especially back in the day, for challenging the establishment. It was inspired, they say, by the student rebellions of the late 60s. Apparently he grew the beard as a little nod to Che Guevara. I don't know if that's true, but I like to think it is. He used to tell people that he read Lenin and Marx and all the rest of it. He managed to avoid military service as well, which was not an easy thing in Germany at the time.
Just punching the general in the face.
Well, no, quite the opposite, actually. He shared an apartment with lifelong friend and fellow professional Uli Hoeneß, who is the big wig at Bayern Munich right now. And when the military police came around to recruit him for military service, Hoeneß hid him in the cellar and just said, no, he's not here, he's not in. it worked.
We'll leave it at that then.
Yeah.
Wow. That's oddly slapdash for
uncharacteristic.
Well, that's right.
Like Jehovah's Witnesses or the gas man.
Yeah. Or the BBC man. They wouldn't go to Germany. TV license man. Maybe they should, earn a lot of money there. There's a famous photo of Breitner sitting in a rocking chair with a poster of German mail on the wall. Breitner's reading a Chinese communist propaganda newspaper, and there's a boxer dog sat on the floor beside him. Perhaps a nod to the Boxer Rebellion, I don't know. But back in the day, you know, especially in Germany.
Big time. It's absolutely big time.
It's absolutely
that
huge
is massive,
stuff.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. So when he joined Bayern, the big man at the club there was Franz Beckenbauer.
Not even.
Sorry?
No, he is.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah.
Now, he's quite a big personality and outspoken as well. However, Beckenbauer was more on the right wing. And I suppose...
I thought he was a defender.
Very good. Rubbish.
I love doing the jokes that Jim and Pete have thought about and chucked away. That's where I come in.
And that disappoint me.
Yeah.
He was in with the establishment, is what I'm trying to say. Or he had ties with them, certainly. And Breitner was the rebel, which was much to the annoyance of Beckenbauer off the field and vice versa. Beckenbauer was kind of Mr. West Germany, you know, whereas Breitner said things like, the national anthem before international matches ruins the concentration, which is incredibly disrespectful. And opposition fans would often shout at him, you're a communist, and one thing and another.
He's like a wrestling heel or something. Yeah. He's got like a style, he's got like a...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, having said all that, he did, he earned a decent wage. He drove a Maserati. he once shaved off his mighty beard for a shaving foam advert in the early 80s.
The footballing Bob Crow, ladies and gentlemen.
He even said he would market his backside if necessary. So he gives it the big one, but...
It's a champagne socialist.
He's a champagne socialist. But aside from all this, he did have a superb footballing career. He played for Bayern in a real golden period for the club. In 1972, they won the league, and also in that same year, he won the what is now called the European Championships with West Germany. So a great year for him. He won the league with Bayern three seasons in a row. 1973, after winning the league campaign, that he was, of course, a very happy man, as one would be if you've won the German league. He was pictured celebrating the league when dancing naked next to a swimming pool. But he was absolutely hammered for this in the press. Everyone was slagging off. This is ridiculous, disgraceful scenes. And to which he responded by saying, "At this shitty club, they can't even celebrate."
No. You know. Amazing.
I don't know whose swimming pool it was, but maybe the journalist who wrote the piece. And 1974 was quite a year for Paul Breitner, as he won the league, the European Cup, and the World Cup.
It's not bad.
You know?
Not
bad,
job done.
That's a proper year.
I'm tired
it?
After the league season.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't happen.
Before.
And Paul Breitner's not exactly a player who would go hiding either. He'd grab the game by the scruff of the neck as
that's
well.
That's right. Well, he did. Well, before the finals, actually, the German team went on strike over pay disputes, Breitner being one of the ringleaders. And apparently, he packed his bags twice, threatening to walk out on the team. But Beckenbauer managed to negotiate a deal with the West German Football Federation, and so they were okay. But he played a huge part in West Germany winning the World Cup. He even scored in the final against the great Dutch side. It was the equalising penalty. Now, he said before the game, they spoke about penalties, very uncharacteristic like of the team. A lot of them, you know, he said Gerd Müller had missed a few in the league, and he was like, I'm not sure if I fancy it. And a few people, and he went, well, I'll have it. Yeah. We'll get a penalty, I'll do it. And he did, he stepped up. And that was really the catalyst for the Germans to go on and win the tournament, or win the final. So after this incredible year, he moved to Real Madrid for a few years, and he won the Spanish League title a couple of times in Copa del Rey. In 1976, he featured in a comedy western film, Potato Fritz. I've not seen it, that's all I know about it, but he was there.
I'd like to see it.
No doubt it will be rubbish, but good rubbish.
Yeah.
You know where you stand with Breitner. In 77, he moved to a small club called Eintracht Braunschweig, which was a surprise to a lot of people. It was quite small.
From Real Madrid?
Yeah, well, they'd only just been promoted to the top league in Germany. He was there a season and rejoined Bayern, linked up with forward Karl-Heinz Rummenigge to great effect. Those two.
Not bad.
He fell out with some of the coaching staff and a few players and whatnot, and withdrew from the national team before the 1978 World Cup. And the other players weren't happy about this, saying the team wasn't good enough without Breitner. And Germany didn't have a great showing in 78, so he was recalled for the next World Cup in 1982, where the Germans got to the final, lost 3-1 to a very good Italian side. But Breitner scored his team's only goal and became one of, well, three men then, but now four men to have scored in two World Cup finals. Vava, the Brazilian, Pele, Zidane. And Zidane, the other one. So only four men have done that, and he's in there.
And it's an incredible feat.
Yeah. Well, to play in two.
And he had incredible feet as well.
He did, indeed. and he wasn't a striker as well. Okay, one of them was a penalty, but still, has to be put away, James. In 1998.
That's where I'm going wrong.
In 1998, Bertie Vogts left his post as Germany manager. And Breitner was actually given the job.
Wasn't he around? But he did it for like a day or something because no one wanted to work with him.
17 hours. And all the officials were like,
what could he possibly do in that time?
He fell out with the staff, the tea lady, and a bit of the stadium.
Yeah. They were like, no, we're not having
this. Stadium seats will slowly turn the other way.
Certain doors wouldn't open for him.
Yeah. Post just collapsed.
Yeah. I reckon his first team, he put the team sheet up and he was in the middle, captain. I'm having this.
And left back.
So
now he's a commentator and an advisor and a scout for Bayern, and I think he's patched up his differences with Beckenbauer.
That's good. Yeah, imagine having those two in the same team. That is a spine.
I mean, we've spoken about
generals
him
proper.
And Müller and Gerd Müller. What a spine.
No wonder they won the World Cup. But we talked to him a lot about his off-field antics there, but an incredible player he really was. A great shot, wonderful ability, could play
also
various positions.
He started as a left back, and then became like a box to box midfielder, as is often said. And it's, that's such a strange position.
He could also play out
how
front.
Often do you see that?
Yeah, he's a complete footballer. He had everything, and he's really, really criminally underrated amongst the sort of footballing fraternity because no one really talks about him that much.
That's right.
You don't hear about him being one of the greats. He's undoubtedly one of the greatest footballers in European history.
But then, Luke, I would like to point out that he does look like Jeff Lynne from ELO. So
that's true. Every cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had a cloud on his head.
Well, I tell you what, the man they called Der Afro is coming into the demon. That's all I'm saying. Come on in, Paul Breitner.
It's a living thing.
Well, there you have it, good people. That is the end of the Football Ramble for this time. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the email address is thefootballramble.com. What is going on over there, Jimbo?
Well, Marcus, on the website this week, we see Andy Brassel and Ricardo Carvalho's fallout with the Portugal boss Paulo Bento. It's all a bit strange, that.
Yeah, that's a real disappointment for them.
Yeah, no, they've had a big old row, and it's all gone sour. And Mikhail Zakodny rounds up the transfers in Poland. Rupert Fryer is on the return of Adriano. That's quite interesting to check all that out. There's a focus on Stoke City from Chris Mann, and Newcastle from The Guardian's Jacob Steinberg, as well as musings from myself. On the forum, there's talk of Talisa from N-Dubs, a Belgian mayoress getting caught having sex on a rooftop, and Eamon Holmes.
Oh, and you can see the Mike Ashley striptease on there.
Yeah, that's all on there as well. There's all kinds of wonderful
all the
stuff
bases
on there,
covered.
So, yeah, just go over there.
Sex on a roof. Yeah. There disturbing scenes.
Don't confuse those. There's no sex on the roof with Mike Ashley and Eamon Holmes.
Yeah, no, Talisa from NW is not having sex with Eamon Holmes on the roof. It was very much the Belgian.
Unless that's happened between recording and release. Which seems
we
unlikely.
Don't know.
Very true. Right, that's it. Say goodbye, Petey.
Goodbye, Petey.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next week.
And the big question Arsenal supporters are asking this evening, could Mikel Arteta, Alvaro Pereira, Luka Modric, Brian Ruiz, Alan Hutton, Edne Greguera be on his way to the Emirates?
If we find a player with a good goal-scoring record, we will try to take him.
Horace Wimp, is this your life? Go out and find yourself a wife. Be a man, take a stand, and you will have a great life plan. Horace Wimp!
It's the diary of Horace Wimp by Eodore there.
Keep singing it.
Well, he just stood there mumbling and fumbling. Then a voice from above said, Horace Wimp, this is your life. Go out and find yourself a wife.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.